Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
And welcome to another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest is a journalist, a presenter, and she's a host of her own show. She's a mother of one. And I found out some really interesting facts about you, actually.
Oh, no.
A champion Irish dancer. And at 19, you won the Young Engineer for Britain Award. It's Steph McGovern. What on earth?
Oh, I know, but you know, I think I'm typically one of those people, Giovanna, who, like, you know, has to have a go at everything, yeah. You know. So, I've always been quite competitive as well. So, like, I did dancing for years because I'm from an Irish family, and so did Irish dancing, loved it, and was like at competitions all the time and things. So, and there weren't that many people doing it when I was doing it. So,
right.
I'm not sure I'd be a champion if I was doing it now, given Riverdance and Lord of the Dance and everything else. There's loads of good dancers now.
It's amazing. But, yeah. Like, literally, like, researching you, for want of a better word, I was kind of like, what?
I know, it's so random. And it's one of those things as well where it's like, can you still do it? And whenever me, and especially when I'm with my mates who are dancers with me, we literally, every year, we always get at a party, right, girls, can you dance? And we're all like, all right, put our drinks down, rock out a few steps that we've always done.
It doesn't sound like you need much convincing.
No, we don't, actually. We're like, when are they going to ask us?
Preparing the day before. Right, if I do this before counts, then you do that.
Yeah, this probably is what we're like.
So, well, did you have a happy upbringing? Like, were you constantly going around doing lots of dancing? Did you have siblings?
Yeah, no, so I'm an only child, and so I had a really desperate need to want to be with other people all the time. Right. You know, I was, my mum and dad, brilliant, but like, it's boring when you're on your own, you know. I only ever got to play board games at Christmas because that's when I could convince them to like play with me on those types of games. But no, it was brilliant because I was doing dancing, I was constantly at dance classes, and then my mom and dad, bless them, were like driving me around to different dance competitions in the region. And then, you know, we did quite well and we ended up traveling quite a bit. So, and I just love going like for the fun of it, because when you're in that dancing world, there's no like no one cares what your background is or what your mum and dad do as a job. And I really felt like that. Like, no one knew whether we had money or we didn't. It was just all about whether you were a good dancer or not. And I quite like that bubble of not knowing.
Yeah.
Like, and not caring about money and who's posher than who. And it was quite a leveler, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, which was really good as a kid because then it didn't matter to me.
I wonder if that's that's a thing across all types of creative things, because when you're in that bubble of creating something, it's all about in that moment and how you all connect and stuff. And then it's when other people come outside from like external friends, you're like, oh, actually, you're like that. I didn't know that side of you at all.
I think actually that really helped me as a child, just bringing such a mix of people. I had mates who were, Brummie accents, mates with Scouse accents or whatever. And occasionally at these competitions, which once every couple of months, you would be all together in a kind of melting pot.
Yeah.
And it was just really good for teaching me as a kid that there's different people out there. They've got different voices and actually we're all the same. Some are better dancers than others, but that's okay. And, that was a really good way of teaching me about difference, I think.
Yeah.
Without it being intimidating, because I'm, from a pretty working class background and I didn't feel like we didn't have money. Quite the opposite. I thought it was a luxury that I got to go to these competitions and stuff. So
were you close to your mum and dad?
Yeah. I mean, we're a funny mix, me and my mum and my dad, because we're quite different. So you might not believe this, but they're quite quiet, and I've always been gobby and the one who chats to everyone.
They basically gave you the space to talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't give them a chance for them to talk, probably. But they were always, I mean, my dad's really creative and my dad's quite different in terms of how he looks and everything, because he's arty, so he's an artist, and he's like always wearing wacky clothes and things, and he paints on his clothes. So and as a kid, I was a bit embarrassed about that. Our house has got loads of like sculptures and things in it that my dad had made, and I used to be a bit like, oh god, no kids are gonna want to come around the house because we've got like all these freaky things around. And now as an adult, I'm like, wow, that's so cool. Like, he painted on a pair of Converse for me recently. That's like image of like Icarus falling out of the sky, and I was like, oh my god, that's brilliant. But as a kid, I was like, no dad, I don't want to be different. so it's funny again, like that probably taught me it was okay to be different in a funny way. So it's weird, isn't it, what you kind of learn from your parents.
Well, especially without even knowing.
Yeah, exactly. Like the kind of subtle things that must get implicit or whatever get taught to you and you don't realise it. And that kind of helps you in your later life of being more open-minded.
And was there any point when you were younger that you thought about being a mum and what that would look like and having your own family?
Yeah, but I think I was quite pessimistic in the sense of I didn't know if I ever would be like meet someone and be lucky enough and all of that. I kind of knew from an early age that I was quite career driven.
Right.
And I just thought, I'm going to be a career woman. And I think I told myself, and I don't know if other people might do this as well, kind of going, you're one or the other, aren't you?
Well, I think that's the thing though, that, certainly like 10, 20 years, that is what it was, one or the other. Either you're a career woman and you're kind of cut off and cold and, you don't have a maternal bone in your body, or you are Mother Earth and you're at home with your kids and that's your role. Like, whereas there is a massive crossover now where basically we're all just trying to do everything.
Totally. Which is like mind-blowing. I think though as well, I've had such a good career, I've done so many great things, and I never would have thought I'd have achieved what I have done, and I totally feel blessed by for that, but I have worked hard for it. I think there's women often go, oh, I was so lucky.
Oh,
and
I
was lucky.
Yeah,
but I made my luck and you've made your luck, and we all have. We've not just had it handed to us on a plate. But I think seeing my friends, like my mates who've, my best mates and my home girls, the girls I grew up with, the girls I dance with, I don't have like loads of celebrity friends or anything. Everyone's just normal. Yeah. And I think seeing them and them to have families, and they always looked at me like, Steph, look at your glamorous life. You've been to interview the Prime Minister, you whatever, done this and that. And I used to look at their lives and go, oh man, I just crave that kind of homely being with a baby and having a child and watching them develop and knowing that where you are every night, because I never did. I was always traveling with work. And so it's funny how you often look at your friends and think about the things they've got and how you'd love to have that. And then I know that they're looking at me thinking, I'd love a bit of her glamorous life or whatever, even though we all know it's not as glamorous as everyone thinks.
Did you ever vocalise that? Did you ever have chats with them about actually?
I did, yeah. And I think my friends are like totally key to my success in my career because they have kept me grounded. And I think they have, if I'm honest with you, at times they've said to me, do you know what, Steph? You're being a bit of a knob. And, you know, you've been a bit of a TV knob. And I was like, oh, my God, you're right. And I remember one of my mates saying that to me and thinking, literally, I hadn't seen it in myself. And I'm so glad you've said that to me because you're right. I have just said a few things that make me sound like a TV knob. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm grateful that you've said that. And I think that's really important to me. And it's really important to me now as a mum to give our child as normal a life as possible so that she doesn't become a TV knob either.
Well, I think it's
I won't keep saying knob the whole way through this, sorry.
There'll be an E on this now. It's fine. It's explicit, but we'll just keep saying knob the whole way through. I think it's that thing of being self-aware, isn't it? Like just being aware of what, and I don't know whether that's the journalist side of you then that's kind of very aware of what people are giving you and how that's perceived. So therefore you've got to have a bit of self-awareness as well.
Yeah. And I think as a journalist, the best way to get things out of people is if you're, you know, they feel comfortable and you're approachable and you feel like a friend to them and you feel normal to them. And so, you know, most of the people I interview are very normal people who might have had extraordinary things happen to them. And therefore, you want to make sure that they feel totally comfortable in talking to you and not intimidated. You know, like I think the biggest compliment is when someone says, yeah, I'd go for a pint with her. And I'm like, that's amazing. I'm not bothered if I'm not the sexy presenter or I'm not the...
Doesn't mean anything.
Just I'd love to go for a pint with her. I'm like, happy days. That if that's...
So at what point, so from looking at your mates and kind of going, oh, I'd love that. Yeah. How did you then take the plunge and kind of go, do you know what, actually, I do have this career, but I'd quite like a family as well?
Yeah, well, it was because I got to a point where I just thought, it was before I was with my partner, and I just thought, I'm at an age now, I'm 38 now, and it was kind of at the age of about 35. I thought, right, I'm well aware of the old, you know, ticking clock. And I had enough friends who were kind of having, you know, struggling to conceive and things. And I just thought to myself, I kind of need to do something. Do I don't know, freeze my eggs or what do I do? And so I started looking into all of that and thinking it might be time to freeze my eggs until I work out what I'm going to do, or at least start that process to see what my fertility level is like, because that's the thing, isn't it? And I say that to everyone now who's vaguely thinking about having a baby. I'm like, just go and see what the state of play is with your eggs if you can, you know, if you can. If you're on your own, just go and see. And so so it got to that point. And then me and my partner got together, and we'd been friends for a long, long time as well before we got together. And so she knew all about this, that I was thinking about what to do. And then we got together and she was like, why don't we just go for it? And we hadn't even been together that long. And I was like, do you reckon? She was like, yeah, well, what's stopping us? And so then we decided we would have a baby, and then we did.
Was it hard deciding who would have the, like, would carry the baby?
No, it was always going to be me. In fact, I think actually, it's funny, isn't it? Because that's the bit I didn't want to do. I actually thought, oh, I'm not fussed about being pregnant. And then when I was, I actually, apart from the morning sickness, oh man, like that was horrendous. And I just, I still can't look at the Co-op logo because I once threw up in the vegetable aisle of the Co-op. And now I can't even, and it was really awkward because a new co-op opened on our street and I was like, I can't even look at that guy. I have to cross over.
Go to Budgeons.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I can't even look at it. So that was horrendous. But then, like, kind of after that, then I felt really fit because I wasn't drinking and I thought I would hate that, and I did hate it a bit, but I got used to it, and then I was so fit. And my favourite ever photo of me is when I went to the TV Choice Awards, and it was literally about 3 or 4 weeks before I had the baby, and it's the best photo of me ever because I know that I look really healthy. Mm-hmm. I've been going to the gym towards the end, and I fortunately I was quite neat and everything. And and I just was like, I love that photo. And also I had an excuse for having a pot belly.
That's like, it really wasn't
the first time. I wasn't holding my stomach in like I do on every
other
photo.
Do you know what? I really felt that when I was pregnant with Buzz. I felt like before that, I'd always questioned my weight, always felt too big, too whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's something about being pregnant. All of a sudden I felt like, this is my body. I am strong. I am woman. And this is amazing. It is something, even just anything. I just felt so womanly and proud walking around.
It does. It is. It's true that, isn't it? I mean, at times you can feel horrendous and you're like, get it out of me. But there is that sense of like, it's a license to say, I feel fab. Like, okay, there's, you know, we all know there's times when you don't feel fab, but it also makes you feel like, wow, look what my body can do.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you had this, but I had this constant anxiety the whole way through that I was going to muck it up.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, you know, I remember my partner saying, we were on holiday and she was like, you know, you can have a little shandy or whatever. And I was like, I can't, because if anything happens, I'll never forgive myself. And I've got a friend as well who did have a drink early on in the pregnancy because she didn't know she was pregnant. Mm. I remember you and I were talking about this on the show, weren't we, on my show? And her son came out and needed glasses, and she's like, I'm still convinced he needs glasses because I drank at the beginning. I'm like, that's so not true.
Gosh.
But you do, we like have this ridiculous guilt.
That's even some serious mum guilt though.
I know. She's hilarious.
There is that thing for me as well, because I had a miscarriage early, like first time round. I think there was always that thing when I was pregnant with Buzz that like it happened. Well, first time round, I felt like it happened so easily. And then it didn't go to plan. So second time, I feel like I felt lucky the whole way through and that I shouldn't count my chickens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you do. It's so weird, isn't it? That like there's all the kind of milestones, like 12 weeks and all that. And you feel like, don't tell anyone. And I remember that's when at the height of my morning sickness. I mean, I don't know why we call it morning sickness, because it was all day, every day. But I was on telly every morning, and at 6 o'clock in the morning, I remember once, and I couldn't tell anyone I was pregnant because we're not meant to, are we? Because then we jinx it, apparently. Whatever. And I was throwing up. Like, the only thing I could get into my body that morning was watermelon. And I literally projectile vomited watermelon across the studio moments before we were about to start the 6 o'clock news headlines. And I was like, and you could see my co-host was just looking at me going, like, are you hungover? And I was just like, like I was trying not to like whisper where I was wearing a mic connecting me to all the gang in the gallery, but I just thought, I can't, everyone thinks I'm hungover or I've got a bug, and if they think you've got a bug, everyone avoids you and says go on. And that's how I was like, and ended up saying, which was just, and then I suddenly felt guilty going, well, that's it, I'm gonna miscarry. Or it's so ridiculous, and you put yourself under so much pressure. And I think even like for our partners as well, that then they feel like they can't say it to anyone either, because then they might jinx it. It's a ridiculous
pressure. There's so many things, isn't there? It's like not being able to say or hear the word miscarriage when you're pregnant, because that would jinx it. It's the 12-week thing. For me, I think every day I progressed into the pregnancy, I felt at ease, but I think I was so up, 100% anxious, that by the time I got to the end, I did feel, well, no. And then I think it ramps up again towards the end, your anxiety of, you know. But when did your sickness go?
Oh, I mean, it felt like forever.
You're selling pregnancy right now.
I know, I'm really sorry, everyone. I remember, though, like one of the hottest days of the year as well, and I was lying on a sun lounger in our little back garden thing, and I felt so sick, and I was like, I can never do this again. I don't want to do this. But it lasted, I think it was about 4 months I had it for. Wow. It felt like forever, and it was quite a long time. But I remember when it went, it was amazing.
And it did literally just go suddenly?
Yeah, kind of, it did. And it was really funny because it was a couple of days before we went on holiday, and we booked this really lush holiday to Bali. And I was like, what, you know, a proper poncy holiday, but so amazing to go and do. And I didn't feel sick, and I could eat this really. And I was like, oh my God, I can eat all this food. And I wasn't, because I barely ate anything. I was living off cheesy Watsits. Like,
oh, you don't want to be being sick, cheesy Watsits.
I know, but that's all I could eat. And then anyway, the funniest thing happened. So we went on this holiday to Bali, and we went snorkeling, and we went out on this boat snorkeling with a load of other people. It was like one of those tour things you pay for. Yeah. And the boat, the driver of the, what do you call a person who rides a boat? The pilot of the boat, whatever. I don't know. Anyway, that fella was like, right,
skipper.
Everyone.
I don't know. Sorry. He was right.
You're going to think him saying the words. And he was like, you might get seasick on this. And I was like, oh. And do you know what? Everyone on the boat, including my partner, got really seasick apart from me. And I was there just like, get in. I'm not even feeling sick on this now. So yeah, I felt brilliant after that. Like the morning sickness, pure hell. After that though, I did feel great.
Well, and you were able to start going to the gym as well.
Yeah, well, this was really weird. I mean, I wasn't going mental at the gym. I was just doing a bit of stuff. And, you know, I had a personal trainer. I did it with a friend, actually. And we've had this personal trainer for yonks, who's a mate, basically, who teaches us stuff. And he just did really, like, low resistance things. But I had loads of energy, and it really helped to kind of give me more energy, because I was still filming all over the country. So I was still travelling everywhere, and so I wanted to try and keep fit. And also, because I wasn't drinking, I was just like, I feel really empowered to just get strong now and give myself the best labour possible and all of that, you know, my best chance at having the baby, like, in an all right way. And so that was kind of... Yeah.
I had this weird thing. I think it was pregnant with Buddy, I was working on Lorraine at the time, and I was doing this different take five segment where we went up and down the country like you, and I was doing different challenges. But even though I felt like, because I was pregnant, I was so invested in the movement, like even more than I would normally be. Like, I was doing Beyonce dance classes at 6 months pregnant and doing bell ringing and stuff like that. I think there is something for me about being pregnant that makes you feel superhuman. You're growing life.
Yeah, I know, it is funny that. Do you know what I did as well, which was amazing, is pregnant belly dancing. Have you ever tried that?
No.
Oh, it's dead good. Because, I mean, I would have automatically assumed you couldn't wiggle your belly around when you've got a baby in it, because, you know, they'll be damaging. And actually, it's really good. And it's really good for your pelvic floor, which we all know so much about when you've had a baby. And yeah, so I did pregnant belly dancing. I loved it because it was, you got a sweat up, but you're also dancing, so you're having fun, and you weren't harming the baby. But it's a thing, pregnancy belly dancing. So if you are pregnant and thinking of something you want to do, then that I definitely recommend that. It was really fun.
I love that.
Yeah.
How did you feel going towards your labour? Were you worried about it? Like, I felt like I didn't really think about what came after, other than having to wash a few baby grows. But actually going to the hospital and having baby in my arms, like getting to that point, that was where most of my focus was.
Yeah. I'm one of those people who kind of tries not to think about things like that. I mean,
so it's always good heading into birth. I'm just not going to think about it. Denial.
Well, we didn't do anything. We didn't do antenatal classes. We didn't do whatever all those breathing things are. Yeah. Like, because I don't know. I actually thought to myself, I don't want to know. I just, you know, want to get on with it. And my philosophy has been, and this might sound so ridiculous, but it's got me through a lot of things, is to think, so many people have children. If they, if you know, if they can all do it, why can't I? And that's the thing that got me through, like when I had the baby and she had all her, you know, all the kind of dealing with wind and all that yeah. malarkey and being up in the night wondering why they're screaming and, you know, and trying to have a normal life as well. I kept just, I've always just said to myself, right, suck it up, sister. Everyone else can do it. Why can't you? So get on with it. And I think, and that's kind of how I treated the whole actually giving birth as well, is just like, just suck it up and get on with it and just don't think too much about it. So, yeah. And my partner was reading loads of books though. Like she was doing all the like, the library of books everyone has. And I was just like, la, 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 la.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? The different roles that you take on.
Yeah. But I think as well, like for the person who's not having the baby, it's so important to you to like have the bond and understand everything that's happening to your partner. And it like for them, it's, I think it can be even harder because if you're the pregnant one, you know, you've just got to stay healthy and all of that. And you can feel movements and you know, if you, things don't feel right or if they do or whatever else. And your partner just has to kind of like guess and try and work. Do you look, does she look all right today? I think she does. Yeah. Is everything all right? They don't want to ask too often because they don't want to do your head in, but they don't want to ask too little and then not look like they care. And I think it's quite hard to be the partner of a pregnant person.
And what was it like having her in your arms for the first time?
Yeah. I mean, I was amazing. I mean, my partner held her first before me, which was really lovely, and cut a cord and everything and all that jazz. So that was great. And I mean, I was just so disorientated about the whole thing that I think I wasn't even that bothered about holding her, if I'm honest, to begin with. I'd just thrown up on myself and I was like, ah! But yeah, but it was incredible. And I remember just the first night just staring at her in the little crib thing next to me, just staring at her going, wow. And I remember her looking back at me at one point, but obviously we know babies sleep mostly for the first, about the first 3 months. And she was just looking back at me and I was like, whoa, this is really weird.
It's that weird disconnect, isn't it? It's that thing of, so you've been in me. So it's a weird feeling knowing that your bump is that human. So, you know, connecting the dots is quite, it takes a while, I think.
Yeah, it does. And it's funny because you are strangers in a way. And so you know nothing about this child. You don't know what their personality is going to be like or anything. So you, to me, it was a bit kind of like looking at an alien to begin with. Because I was like, I don't know what's going to make you laugh. All I know is I have to feed you at this point. And I don't know anymore, but it is really amazing as well. When you have a baby, obviously your world, the rest of the world carries on, but without you, and you just stop in this bubble. And I've never stopped. You know, I've literally worked since I was 15 and barely had, only just for holidays. And even then I'm on my phone the whole time. And this was just like, stop. Just enjoy this time. And we did, and it was so nice. Yeah, I mean, it was hard as well because, you know, as a first-time parent, you're so anxious about everything. Like, we bought every gadget going. Like, we bought this thing that, like, a little sock that you put on a foot that tells you if the oxygen level's dropped and all this malarkey, which was dead good, but equally, you're just paranoid the whole time and constantly checking if she's breathing. Everyone does this as a first-time parent, don't they? You're, like, convinced you're not going to be able to keep her alive, convinced that, you know, they're going to suffocate in the night because you've been warned 3 million times about cot death.
Yeah.
So you spend your whole time. And yet there's other times where I was like trying to get her to sleep and holding her. And then once I fell asleep with her in my arms and she fell asleep on me. And then I'm like, I woke up, I'd literally dribbled on her head, bless her. And I was like, oh my God, I could have killed her. And you're like, it takes ages to relax and go, she's still alive. Actually, we made it through that bit. It's fine.
I think the fourth trimester where there's such a big transition for you as a woman anyway, because all of a sudden your responsibility completely changed. Like the responsibility is massive. And getting to know this little human who they're only way of communicating with you, especially in the first 6 weeks, is crying and screaming. Yeah. That's it. That's all you're working with.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny how that cry changes as well.
Yeah.
You know, it is incredible. I tell you what's amazing as well is, you know, we were talking about my parents and, you know, like, was I close to them? And I was trying to explain we're a funny family and that, yeah, we get on great, but we've never been like close. I don't ring my mum and go, oh, this and that. You know, we're kind of quite independent from each other. But since having the baby, I cannot get rid of them. I mean, it's brilliant because they, you know, look after her when I'm working. But equally, it's like, they are obsessed by her. So they walk into the house and they just beeline for her. And they, you know, and I think that is gorgeous. The grandparents, and it's just mega. Like, I've loved that bit of it. It's just seeing my parents just so in love with her. And, you know, I mean, I'd worry she's going to be spoiled by the end of it all, but that's what grandparents are for. I had a comedy moment, though, where the first time we left the baby with my mum and dad, me and my partner went away for a night. And the next morning, you know, anxiously rang. How has she been? And, you know, has it all been all right? My mum, yeah, fine. Yeah, fine, fine. Great. So, you know, did you feed her in the night? Mum was like, no, no. And I was like, what? She slept through? Oh, no, no. She woke up about 9. So we brought her downstairs and we watched The Shining. And I was like, The Shining, the horror movie? She was like, yeah, yeah, she really enjoyed it because of the little kids in it. And I was like, what, those evil twins? And I was like, oh. And I remember at the time, sorry, go on.
No. There is that weird thing, though, with parents where you're like, do you not know how to do this? How have I turned out okay?
Yeah, totally. I know. And we laugh because my mum's dead funny in that she's totally forgotten about having me because she didn't bring me up because I remember her saying, oh, you were such a good baby. You slept all night from the minute you were born. And I was like, that's physically impossible, mum. You have to feed a newborn baby like every couple of hours. I didn't. I must have woken up. No, you did. And then when our daughter started teething, my mum goes, "Hey, I don't remember you teething. I just remember one morning I noticed you had all your teeth." And I was like, mum, that didn't happen.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How have you found the juggle of being a mum and working?
Yeah, really hard. Like, really hard. Because I didn't appreciate, even though it's so obvious, and everyone said this to me, I didn't appreciate how little sleep you would get.
Yeah.
And that is the hardest thing. And also, like, the kind of forced, well, not forced, we've created the routine, but routine, as everyone knows, is absolutely key. So, and my friend actually stayed with us for a while with her little baby. So I actually had a bit of a trial run with a friend's baby. So she'd split up with a partner and ended up living with us for a bit. So we had this baby in the house. So it was ace. So I learned quite a lot. And she had this really strict routine. So it was like, nap this time, whatever. And I used to be like, no, let's leave her up for a bit. We'll do this and this. And I remember coming home one night and going, can we get the baby up to see? No, you can't. She has to stay in a routine. And then now I am fiercely like that, to the point where I go mad with my parents. Like today I got back and I was like, and the baby was still asleep. I got back about 3:30. And I was like, oh, great. So she's had about an hour and a half, has she? Well, no, not quite. We put her down about, and I can feel my blood vessels going, we need routine. So,
because it's routine, the knock-on effect. It's the knock-on effect of that happening, yeah.
Exactly. And they don't have to deal with that because they've gone home by then. So in terms of answering your question, like, routine now is brilliant, but it's just the nighttime. And then, you know, the times when she sleeps through the night, amazing. And then you get to that, you know, you have that and that's amazing. Then all of a sudden teeth start growing and you're like, oh my God. And then like the other night she was awake pretty much on the hour, every hour, because she was struggling with her little teeth, bless her. Well, I think it was that. And also she had a cold and blah, 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 all the usual. And literally me and my partner were like, and we're brilliant at tag teaming. And so, you know, like, we've done it well.
Nights? Yes, we swap.
Yeah. And so we did do that. But then now she's been sleeping through the night. We were like, right, let's just go back to normal. So, you know, we were together back in the same bed, like just trying to. And so we were both woken up every hour on the hour. And then we kept going, it'll be fine. She'll be all right after this. Back to sleep, woke up again. And the next day, obviously I had the show to do and my eyes were like at the bottom of my face. My partner had a really big day at work as well. So the pair of us were just exhausted. And I just was like, right, I've got to, but you still get through it. You know, I still did a good show, and you feel rotten and you know, you want to claw your eyes out and, but yet you still get through it. And again, that's when I give my mantra in my head going, well, you were the one who said you wanted a baby. This is what babies do. You were the one who wanted a job. So I do that little talking to myself thing where I just get on with it, love. And then, you know, go into work, do the job. And then there is nothing better than going to bed at like 7:30. Some nights when you put the baby to bed and then you're like, yay.
But I do think there's something about when a child doesn't sleep at this point. Because I think when it's new, when you've got a newborn, you expect it. You're not doing your normal work. You know, you're kind of, it can't be hell. Like, I liken it to hell the first time with Buzz. But then things kind of settle and you're out of that. And there is a bit of normality and predictability with when they're going to get up. And then all of a sudden, when that goes out the window, when they've got a cold, when they're teething, when there's a 4-month sleep regression. Oh my gosh, did you have the 4-month sleep regression, Julie?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
But then now we've just flipping seen, my partner accidentally was Googling in the night, the 12-month sleep regression.
What?
So now we're both like, oh no. So yeah, that, because we were really smug at about 3 months. When she was sleeping through the night, I was so smug. I remember my agent rang me going, right, Steph, we've got this work coming up, potentially doing that. Oh, yeah, I can do it all. Baby's sleeping through the night now. Fine. Then about 3 weeks later, please, I can't do anything else. Don't give me any more work. And he was like, oh, is the baby waking up in the night again? And he's a dad of 3. So I was like, yeah. So it is. I mean, but it's so brilliant as well, like that coming home and a little person being there who's smiley and fun, and she's just started walking as well. So we're like literally making a walk all the time. Like, come on, you know, we're FaceTiming grandparents or whoever, family members, and they're like, right, come on, let's walk again. She's like, oh my God, will you two ever leave me alone? So it's lovely. And I genuinely love 7 o'clock now, because then I know she will be in bed.
Yeah.
And then it's like 7 o'clock. Wednesday night takeaway. Ooh. Yay! So we've just had a Chinese and we've just watched Schitt's Creek and felt normal. Because we stopped watching telly for a bit and were just going to bed at 7:30 because we were like so tired and because of our jobs. And then actually we recently were like, we need to just do a bit of telly again because that's what we used to do. We used to look, you know, before the baby, we used to do a box set and we're like, let's get back into that again. And actually it's been really nice because it is like kind of us time.
Yeah.
Even though we're not really talking because we're watching telly.
Well, I mean, if our feet are touching, then that's lovely time.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I know. It is funny, isn't it, though, these like things. And I think like we do as well, we're quite good at trying to do date nights every so often as well. So when my parents stay to look after the baby, we're like, right, let's get out of the house. They're busy watching Coronation Street and every other soap going. Yeah, The Shining. Right, let's go out for a few. And even if it's just for, you know, an hour or two, yeah, it's so nice to just go and sit and we kind of go, right, let's try not to talk about the baby for a bit. And then we just, you go, oh, that's who we are. Amazing. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah, that's our opinion on various things. And that's what, you know, it's just nice to do that, isn't it? But it's easy not to do that as well. Like, yeah, it's easy to just get into a, has she done a poo today? Yes. Okay. What did she have for lunch? Okay. Did she eat? Mm-hmm. And but you know, we're all learning, aren't we? That's how I think. I just think I've still got so much to learn. I look at other parents and think, oh my goodness, like, yeah, I could learn so much from you. And that's the nice thing as well, is just knowing there's lots of parents in the world and you can Google things in the middle of the night, yeah, and I can absolutely guarantee someone's been through the same thing. You know, you that can relief, Google.
That relief, yeah, when you start Googling something and it comes up and you're like, yes, yeah, someone else has been in this situation.
Yeah. Like, I'm surprised people don't tell you more about poo colours in the first week, yeah, of a baby. Because honestly, that is surreal. Mm-hmm. All the different poo colours you go through. I was like, our child cannot be okay, because this just doesn't look right. Then you Google it and you're like, wow, this is a thing. Black tar and then green and then yellow and then what?
Yeah. And then is it curry-like? Is it too curry-like?
You know? Yeah.
The amount of conversations that we've had about poo, it's unreal.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I think that's the question I ask the most every day. Whoever, you know, if my parents have looked after her or my partner, I'm like, right, okay, did she have a poo today? What was it like? Okay, was it? And my dad was trying to describe it to me today. And my mum went, Steph, your dad was shocked by the poo today, you know? And I was like, really? Why? Rather than laughing, I'm like, really? Why? What was it like? And he was like, well, it was like a patty. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe we're having this chat. But that's the way of the world now, isn't it? It's just things you care about that you didn't think you would.
But that's the thing, though, isn't it? That's why it's important with your partner to keep connecting on a level that isn't about, you know, you've got two really busy careers, that isn't, yeah, about the kid and all the admin and organization that comes with that and the worry over milestones and things, just having that time that's completely separate.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And also each other to have your own things as well.
Yeah.
So like I'm really lucky that I'm in a great relationship where we both go and do our own stuff as well. So, you know, like I am now doing little exercise classes and things. And that for me is really good to go and have that hour, like for my mentally more than anything, just to go and do a class and go and sweat and not think about things for a bit. And equally, you know, my partner loves reading, and so I'm like, just go off and have a bath and read in the bath and I'll do everything and I'll go and see your mates or whatever it is. It's kind of, oh, well, we can't really see anyone at the minute because of all the restrictions, but just giving yourself those moments, yeah, on your own too, because you can easily not have a minute to yourself as, mm-hmm, a parent.
Also, I think otherwise it just feels so relentless.
Yeah.
Just that constant. I think that for me was lockdown actually. I found Mondays, yeah, very hard in lockdown. Just that thing, oh, it's the same. You know what I mean? Here's another, yeah, day of refereeing. Let's go, you know.
I don't know how you did it. Like anyone like yourself who had toddlers or, you know, kids of a fairly young age at home where you can't just sit them in front of a screen or whatever. It's like, I don't know how you did it, because I don't know if this happened with yours, but like some of my friends were saying, their kids started like creating imaginary friends and started turning all their toys became their friends that they weren't seeing anymore because they were, you know, missing their mates. And so they were creating their own little worlds. And I was thinking, God, like kids have actually had to deal with so much during all of this. And whatever age they are, really, there's some, you know, it's just really hard for parents to have kind of looked after their kids' heads as well as their own, as well as doing the schooling, as well as doing the working from home, as well as, you know, trying to keep calm in the middle of a pandemic and everything
else. Remembering to be kind to yourself because you are in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not judge yourself too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Because quite frankly, none of us could have ever have expected this. So why on earth would you be expected to handle it perfectly? Like, you know, just do what you need to.
Is motherhood what you thought it would be?
I've got no idea. Because you're told so much, aren't you, by everyone before you have a baby that I just kind of let it all go over my head. Like I say, I didn't read any of the books or anything. So I thought that I wouldn't be, like I say, I'm quite strict, I think, as a mum. And I didn't think I would be strict, but actually, because I can see how important routine is, I am quite strict. And I didn't expect to be that. You know, I'm more of the fun time one. So like most of my mates with kids, I'm like the fun auntie, you know, everyone goes around and you have loads of fun with Steph and we'll be jumping on trampolines and we'll be making chocolate crispy cakes and having too much sugar and all of that. And now I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. All right, kids, we're going to have carrot sticks. All right. And all my friends are like, what has happened to you? And I'm like, I now know why you don't give your kids sugar and jump on trampolines for several hours.
I do think that part of motherhood is remembering the mother you thought you would be before you became a mother and then trying to become that a little bit more like that mother.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah.
If you could write a letter on motherhood, any letter, who would you write to and what would it say?
I suppose I think I'd probably write a letter to my parents about how impressed I am by how they've got me to where I am. Like in terms of, you know, now I think now I appreciate my mum being a mother so much more because she had me when she was really young and she was at nursing college and everything like that. And my dad was at college as well. And I'm, you know, 38 and got all the kind of security of money and everything else behind me and my career and stuff. And I just think, so I definitely, if we were doing the kind of heartfelt letters, I think I should probably say thanks more to my parents. If I was writing a motherhood letter to someone to tell them about what to expect.
Yeah.
I would just literally say, do it your own way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can say things like, have a routine and all that jazz. I just think, find what works for you. I've got a friend who doesn't have routine at all with her baby to the point where she just puts her down whenever she wants to sleep rather than set times and doesn't put her down if she doesn't want to and all that. And that works for them. So stuff it, like, whatever works for you. So just do it your own way and know that a gazillion women before you have done it. So if they can, you can. And all of those women are different and all of those women have different amounts of money and different amounts of support and different views on things. And actually, so many have done it successfully, so you will as well. And I think that's the key for me. Yeah, do it your own way.
You must have had a lot of time as well doing the job that you do. You must have had a lot of people giving you a lot of advice because you're meeting a lot of people.
It did my head in a bit, if I'm honest with you, because the one thing that really annoys me that people kept saying to me was, oh, well, you know, your life's going to change when you have a baby, Steph. You won't be able to do all this gallivanting round, you know. I'm like, I'm well aware of this. Oh, well, you'll see what it's like when you have a baby. You know, you won't be able to do. I know. Like, I think it annoyed. I felt patronised, actually. Yeah. And I think I felt patronised as a career woman, like, to be constantly told, oh, you know, and it was from people who didn't know me as well. They would just be saying, I know, I'm sure they weren't being mean, but I felt patronised because I was like, I am well aware that I can't do 75 jobs when I'm doing, how I've got a baby. But, like, I'm aware. You don't need to keep telling me that. Yeah. You don't need to keep saying, oh, you can't do all this then. I know. I'm repeating myself a million times, but that's basically because that's what people kept doing with me, is constantly saying the same flaming line to me. That definitely was a frustration, yeah. Was just being told as if I wasn't going to be able to do it. Like, yeah. It was a bit like, right, well, we'll just see, shall we?
Well, I think you kind of proved them wrong anyway.
Well, she's still alive as we speak, I think. So.
There we go. Steph, I end every podcast with you completing three sentences.
Yeah, okie dokie.
Being a mum means...
Being a mum means never knowing what's around the corner, but always knowing that there will be this person you love more than anything in the world that you will do anything for, and that blows your mind.
Oh. Since having a child, I
have not had enough sleep. But again, feel privileged to actually have a child when so many people, you know, struggle to have a child. I feel totally privileged that the reason I don't get enough sleep is because there's this hilarious human in the room next door who, not my partner, the baby, who brings so much joy to so many lives, like not just mine, but the family as well. Like so many people get joy from her, and that. That's amazing.
And I'm happy when?
I'm happy when I am at home with my partner, bathing the baby, knowing that we've had a great day and she's going to bed soon so we can have our time together as a couple, but equally know that she's had another lovely day. And that's when I'm happy, the bath time. The bath time is just brilliant because she just loves baths, yeah. And it's really funny. And we make her laugh loads and she makes us laugh loads. And that's when I think, I've got this every day for as long as she'll let me bath her.
Which is 18, you're still trying. No, Mum,
yeah, like,
no.
Mum, shut the door. There's a lock on the door for a reason.
Steph, thank you so much. You've been a delight to talk to. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I've loved it. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Cheers.